Proverbs chapter 14. I believe with all my heart we need more preaching on the home, but not just more preaching. We need more living in the home like God wants us to live. Our homes, I think you understand this, our homes have been destroyed by the devil and by ourselves. Our culture is a home wrecker. It is. And I want to do my job to fight for those children coming up in houses and for those that have yet to be born. I think they all need and deserve to live in a good Christian home. And yet, you know, that's not always the case. And we can, you know, have the emotional day of Mother's Day like we do it a lot of other times, and we can ignore all the big problems. But we have big problems in this country. And we've got big problems in the homes, not just of people that are outside the church, but they're inside the church, and we need God's help. I think you would agree with me on that. We need God's help. You need God's help to be the mother you need to be. If you're a husband or a father, you need God's help for that. We need the help of the Lord. And God can give it. He's got plenty of it. I believe God's bigger than our generation. I really do. I believe He's bigger than a virus. I believe He's bigger than the satanic crowd that try to keep the narrative on whatever they want to say and the brainwashing they want to do. And God's bigger than that if we'll let Him be bigger than that in our hearts and minds. And I think the verse before us shows us that, a promise or a declaration of God so long ago. And you know, as we live in the destruction of the day of the destruction of the home, it goes to reason that we live in the day of destruction of femininity. The world has sought and has been successful for a great deal to destroy the femininity of women. And at the same token, destroy the masculinity of men. And if you need to know how mixed up and screwed up our generation is, all you have to do is look at their ideas of what a man and a woman is. I don't even think they even know, to be honest with you. And the lines are all crossed. Men are different than women. You know, you wouldn't think you'd ever have to say that, but you have to say that today. And God wants godly women to be a certain way and godly men to be a certain way. And they're not supposed to be the same. God made us different. Why would somebody want to change something the way God made it? And God made it different for a reason, and it works better when it's done God's way. And so God wants you to be the feminine lady that you are. He wants you to be the masculine man that you are. And don't listen to any lie of the devil. They've wrecked everything in society. They've wrecked our whole world, and they're not going to rest until they've totally destroyed it. But here in our verse this morning, we have a testimony of what can happen in a home because of the influence of the woman that's in the home, the mother. Now we know that God has chosen men to lead things. If you don't like that, fight with God. Don't fight with me about it. I didn't do this. God did this. God chose man to lead the home. God chooses leaders to lead in the church. God chose all of that. But having said that, do you know that the destiny, listen now, the destiny of many homes can be determined by the mother that's in the home? And the reason I know that is because the verse that is in Proverbs. Would you look at it with me, please? Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1, the Bible says this. Every wise woman, watch it now, buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Now, normally when God speaks of a house, He is going to lay that charge at a man. This is the man's responsibility. It's his house. But you see the wording of the Bible. Now, He could be speaking about a single woman. But I think this principle applies, a single mother is what I meant to say. A single mother that has children and that she has the charge of the house. It's up to her to build it or to destroy it. And yet I think the mother here that is in the verse, in this household that she has, I think it would be true Because I've got some other verses for you. Think about that, that a mother, a godly mother, can either build her house, she can be responsible for that, or she can be responsible also for destroying her own home. God give us mothers who will build their homes and not destroy them. Our verse says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hand. Now, I don't want to end in a bad note, so I'm going to give you the bad news first. Amen. I want to end this message with this woman as he begins the verse, with this wise woman that's building her house. But before we go into that, there are foolish women. They're not just wise women in our world, there are foolish women in the world. The Bible says at the end of this verse, the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. What is a foolish woman? A lot of them are mentioned in Proverbs. And most of the foolish women have to do with the fact that they can't control their own fleshly appetites. But look at Proverbs chapter 9. I'll give you another thing. Not, the foolish woman is not just the one that's immoral in her behavior, which there are plenty of those. But their foolish woman is also a woman, and this is a woman that's going to destroy her own house. You know, that's a sad thing to even have to say, isn't it? A woman that'll destroy her own house. Not an enemy from the outside, but she'll do it. How foolish would you have to be to destroy your own home? How foolish would you have to be to destroy the ones that you're supposed to love more than anyone else? That you, yourself, plucked down, the foolish plucketh it down with her hand. You took your own hands and destroyed what the devil could not do, the foolish woman does. What an outside thief could not do, the foolish woman does. Foolishness always destroys things. He says in Proverbs chapter 9, not just that foolish woman, as you can read through the book of Proverbs about the woman that's foolish and is immoral, but he says in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. You know, you can have a degree and not know anything. You know what clamorous is? If I did that about 10 minutes, that'd get on your nerves, wouldn't it? Well, that's what a foolish woman is. In other words, a wise woman does her talking with her life, not with her mouth. I think I better just gently trod there. But it says she's simple, she knoweth nothing, doesn't know anything. Can I say this without anybody being offended? We have the dumbest generation. We have a generation that knows nothing. They don't know anything. You know why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And until you know Him, you don't know anything. Until you know God, you can't help yourself and you can't help anybody else and you can't be the mother that built your house because you're foolish. What did Jesus say about, you know, Jesus talked about that. He talked about the foolish man and he talked about a wise man and he gave that correlation in Matthew chapter 7. And this is very easy. This is very simple to know whether or not a person is the foolish woman or the wise woman, a wise mother or a foolish mother. And Jesus gave Matthew 7. He says, here is the wise and here is the foolish. The foolish is going to build on the what? Sand. And it's going to go splat. Right? Come on, everybody do that with me. Come on, everybody. The wise man and the foolish man. You know, some people never learned that lesson in Sunday school. And they went on to be the one that had a house that went splat, instead of the one that was on the rock. What's the difference between the wise and the foolish mother or the wise and foolish husband? These lessons are really for all of us. They're not just for the mothers of today. It's for every one of us. What's the difference between being a fool and being wise? Jesus said this. He said it very plainly. It's not rocket science. It's very clear. It has nothing to do with your education or your degrees. It has nothing to do with your status or your financial situation. Doesn't have anything to do with your reputation. Whether you're wise or foolish is based on one thing. Jesus says there's two people.
And they hear, listen now, they hear these sayings of mine. In other words, they heard what I said. And one of them did it, and one of them didn't do it. One listened to what I said, and one did not listen to what I said. And the one that did not listen to what I said and didn't do it, or maybe they, you know, here's another problem. Some people listen and they still don't do it. And Jesus said, if you don't listen to me and do what I said, you know what you are? You're foolish. And you're going to splat. You know, I've said before, because I'm not very PC, you know, so very politically correct. I've said there is nothing innately virtuous about bearing a child. As a matter of fact, many children are born in sinful situations. Right? There's nothing just innately holy about that activity. It's only holy if you put God in it. You understand? It is only wise if God is in it. And the best thing that all of us could do for our children is to be the wise mother, the wise woman, or the wise man, or the wise husband, the wise dad. They don't just need a mom and dad. They need a wise one. And the only wise one is the one that will listen to Jesus Christ and to do what he says. And if you don't, you're going to pull your own house down. You're going to pluck your own house down. But if you'll listen to Jesus and do what he says, you can build your own house. You say, man, I'm in a terrible situation. Maybe this woman is by herself, but her wisdom built her own house by her own actions, by her own heart. Are you the wise or are you the foolish? Are you the wise young person this morning or the foolish young person? I started thinking, well, let me think some. I'm not going to spend more time on the foolish than the wise. That wouldn't be good. But I start thinking about, okay, God, if you gave this principle, the wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Lord, what are some illustrations? You know, a lot of times, look up here. You know why God gives you stories in the Bible? So you can relate to them. He could have just put everything, number one, number two, number three, here's all the rules, here's all the plan, this is the way it is. But he didn't do that. I don't think sometimes we appreciate how God wrote the Bible. God wrote the Bible with stories about people's lives so that you can understand it. It's not just a speech, or it's not just some type of a litmus test that you have to go through and check all the boxes. He gives you stories about people's lives because your life has a story. Now, what are some of those stories that show us the foolish woman plucking her house down? Immediately I think of Sarah. Now, Sarah in many ways was a wonderful, godly lady. But one day she did something very foolish. And she pulled down the very fabric of her house. She pulled down the relationship that she had with her own husband. She pulled down the future happiness that she should have and could have had. You know what she did? You know the story. She goes to, she's barren. She didn't get what she wanted as soon as she wanted it. God was going to give her a child, correct? But it didn't come as soon as she wanted it. You know, that's one of the big issues of our lives. It's not just the desire of our heart, it's that we can't trust God to bring it to us when He knows it's best to be brought to us. And so what did Sarah do? She took her handmaid, Hagar, that Egyptian woman, and brought it to her husband, Abram. And she said, I'll have a child by this woman. Well, number one, that's pretty dumb in itself. You know, she's never going to look at that child innately as hers. And that woman's always going to be there, you see. So you know what happened? Disaster. And then when the child was born, what she asked for, what she talked her husband into doing, She was filled with sorrow and anger and confusion and frustration. And before you know it, it's a knockdown drag out at the house. She's blaming Abraham. Why? Because she just couldn't trust God for God to bring to her according to his word and will in his time. And so you know the story. They had a big fight and Hagar and Ishmael leave. And of course, that's where you get the Arab-Israeli conflict that's been going on for thousands of years because one woman, you know what? What Sarah did is still hurting her house. It's still hurting all of her descendants. And that's the thing about plucking your own or hurting your own house. It may even go beyond, and it will go beyond your life. I want to leave a wonderful shadow for my children. I don't want to leave a bad one. I thought, well, who else plucked down her house? Of course, Eve. Thank you, Eve, right? Preacher, why do we have a coronavirus? Eve. If you won't get mad at anybody, don't get mad at the president, don't get mad at the society, don't even get mad at Wuhan. If you want to get mad at anybody over the virus, get mad at Eve. That's right. There would have been no sickness. There would have been, she started the whole thing by she didn't listen to God and she didn't do what God said, but she took of that tree. And then she gave to her husband, and every one of us have been sick ever since. You know what she did? She plucked down her house. She plucked down the house of all of her descendants. Every one of us here this morning, we can trace. Every one of us can trace it all the way back to Adam and Eve, right? And she's hurt every one of us. Now look, you say, well, that's terrible. That's awful. Well, don't you do the same thing. You know what's so sad sometimes? Some people watch others how they have plucked down and ruined their life or ruined other people's lives, and then they commence to doing the same thing to themselves or to other people by their own actions and decisions. Don't pluck your house down. I thought of another woman. I thought of Herodias. Herodias, that wife of Herod that was illegitimate relationship, and she had that daughter there. And she taught her daughter to hate the preacher. Go in there and ask for his head, you know, John, the head of John the Baptist. And that daughter did just that. Can you imagine your teenage daughter walking in with a bloody head? You talk about destroying your house and destroying a young lady. She did a number on her house. You know why? Because she hated the preaching. She hated the truth. I thought also about Miss Lot. I call her that because God didn't even give us her name. You know why? She didn't merit it. Miss Lot, what did she do? She plucked her own house down. She got it home in Sodom and Gomorrah. You and I live in Sodom and Gomorrah today. But she got home there. Look, you can either be a missionary to Sodom and Gomorrah, or you can be a part of Sodom and Gomorrah. And she was not a missionary to Sodom and Gomorrah. Her heart settled on those things she loved. And her relationships, I bet she doted upon those children that she had because they didn't want to leave and then they wouldn't listen to her when it was time for the judgment of God to fall. You know what she had done to her children? She had plucked her own house down. And we know that she had that attitude because when God told them to leave and not look back, she turned around and looked back. You know why? Because her heart was there. Foolish woman. I think of Miss Job, also unnamed woman. What a foolish woman. And Job even says, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. You know what she was trying to do? She was trying to tear down her husband. You know what she said? She said, curse God and die. Well, that's a great blessing. Wouldn't you like to be married to that? You just curse God. Here's a man and woman that have lost their kids. Listen, they've lost the farm, right? They've lost everything. And in the midst of all that, this woman turns to this man and says, just curse God and die. Would you like to go to bed with that every night? You know what she did? She's pulling down her husband. She was pulling down her house.
She could have said to Job, she could have been the opposite. She could have said to Job, I love you, honey. We're going to get through this. God's faithful. God's true. But not, nope. She pulled her house down instead of building it up. But what about the wise woman? I thought about Delilah, but that wasn't really her house. So, but boy, she did a number on Solomon to pull him down, didn't she? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. I'm telling you, mother, today, don't repeat the same mistake of Sarah. Don't repeat the same mistake of Eve and Herodias and Lot's wife and Job's wife. Be something different. Don't pull it down. It is so easy to pull something down. It is harder to build it up. And that's why most homes are not established, because it takes effort, it takes energy, it takes wisdom to build. Verse 1, every wise woman buildeth her house. You know, that's not just true in your home and your spiritual life, that's true in construction. You know, you got to take wisdom, you have to have wisdom to build a house. Now, you could get Brother Daniel to build you a house and you'll be all right. You ask me to build you a house? Oh, I can get out there and piddle at it. I mean, my son and I yesterday, we built a rabbit fence. Hope the wind don't blow too hard. What I'm saying is, you can't count on me to build your house. You know why? I don't have the tools. I don't have the tools. And you want your house, you want all those boards level. You want your doors to fit and still open after a year, right? You want your foundation to hold up. So you can't build anything without wisdom. Oh, you can build it quickly and be... How many of you have known, you know, maybe you had a house that the builder, it looked good on the outside, but the workmanship was shoddy. It was bad because it wasn't built with wisdom. You can make anything look pretty for a while, but only wisdom builds a house. It'll fall and crash without wisdom. So the first thing I would say, if you're going to build your house, ladies, if you're going to be the mother God wants you to be, you've got to have wisdom. You have got to be a wise woman. Look at chapter 9 of Proverbs. Get Proverbs chapter 9, and with your other hand, Proverbs 24. You've got to be that wise one that Jesus talked about. You have got to be an individual that is listening to God, that is responding to the Word of God. You cannot be a good mother without listening and obeying the Word of God. You cannot, because that is the source of wisdom, and only wisdom builds a house. A wise woman buildeth her house. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, look at it, I'll show it to you again. Proverbs 9, 1, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out seven pillars. Wisdom, look at Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs 24. You've got to, look, you've got to have wisdom to build your life. You know, listen. You know why a lot of people's lives fall? They're too ignorant of what's hurting them. They don't even know what's destroying them. They don't even know what's hurting their life. They don't have enough wisdom to see, this is not good for me. I've got to tell myself no here. I can't listen to these people, but I got to listen to God. And most people have no wisdom of who to listen to. And to build your life, to build your house, you have to have wisdom. You're not just going to get by. Oh, we'll just... do the best we can. No, if you don't have wisdom, it's going to crash and burn. He says in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Well, then how in the world are we going to establish our homes unless we don't determine in our hearts to get back to God's wisdom? God is, can you acknowledge that God is smarter than you are?
Hey, God's smarter than your doctor. God's smarter, amen, than the psychiatrist. God is smarter than the scientist. God is smarter than all the minds of the world put together. He knows the beginning and the ending. He made everything. He is going to stop everything. Go to God and get some wisdom. You don't know what to do.
It's not a bad thing not to know what to do, because all of us are in that boat. But it is a bad thing not to go to the one who does know what to do. Wisdom builds your house. Look at Psalm chapter 127. So, preacher, I want to be a good mother that builds my house. What do I do? Number one, you get some more wisdom. You get some more wisdom. You say, preacher, you know, how do I get more wisdom? Do I just listen to preaching and all that? And do I pray? Look, here's how you get wisdom. You ready? It is easy. It is so simple that everybody misses it. It is so simple that people don't believe it. James 1, you ready? If any lack wisdom. I'm going to put my hand in there. See, that's where most people can't even get into promise. That they don't even see they lack wisdom. If any lack wisdom, that's me, Lord, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. If you'll go to God with the right heart and ask for wisdom, he promises it to give it to you. You say, oh, I don't have wisdom. Did you ask? Or he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. In other words, it's not a prayer that you read. It's a prayer you believe. God, I believe you have wisdom. I'm coming to you by faith. I'm asking you for it. And I believe you. I believe you're going to give it to me. Because of your word. Now look, I know I'm saved. You know why I know I'm saved? Because God told me I'm saved. I read it in the Bible. He said, whosoever is called in the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did that. I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, the Lord from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. I know I'm saved because of what he said. You know what? I know God's going to give me wisdom to be the dad I need to be the husband I need to be the Christian, the pastor I need to be, because I went to God and I asked him for it and he promised to give it to me. Isn't that simple? Now let me ask you a question. What percentage in this building do you think people have gone to God and asked for wisdom? What percentage in this country do you think? Preacher, this virus is awful. Yeah, I tell you what, it helped. Amen. Better than a White House task force, or better than the CDC. Now, see, I say stuff like this, and they think, you know, you're a prehistoric monkey or something. You know, you say something like that. What would help a whole lot more than all the test tubes and all the drug companies working on the vaccine? What would help more than anything in the world if a bunch of scientists and a bunch of governmental leaders and a bunch of people get on their knees before God and say, oh, God, give us wisdom what to do? I think I've got a God that's bigger than a science book. But I don't think that's happening. You know why? Because this is the area of molecular biology. We got this figured out. There are molecules they don't even know exist that are in the mind and the knowledge of God. Now let me ask you a question. They're talking about a virus. Preacher, my home, my marriage, my children, or my parents, my life, what do I do? Have you gone to God and asked for wisdom? Wisdom, the wise woman, builds her house. So I told you to turn to Psalm 127. I want to read that. The second thing, to build your house, ladies, you're going to have to be a wise mother. That means you're going to have to buck the trend out there. Most are not. Secondly, Psalm 127, verse 1, look at it. He says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. So the second point, ladies, is that you've got to be God-centered. You've got to understand that it'll have to be God that builds your house and not you.
You say, well, preacher, how does that work? So that wise woman's building her house. You know why? She's working with God. You know, a great verse in the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. You know, it says that we are laborers together with God. He says, you're God's building. You know what? It's Jesus said, I will build my church, right? If the church is built, Jesus builds it, period. But here's the thing. We get to work with him. You know, when God builds a church, it's not like just Jesus is up in heaven and doing hocus pocus and the church is built. No, no. There are people working together with God. Now listen, lady, God can build your house. Listen, sir, God can build your house, but you have got to put him in the center of your life and you've got to work with him instead of working against him. Because except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. And the smartest mother, and the mother that seemingly has all the answers, if she's not building it with God, then her labor is in vain, because only God can build your house. Only God can help your children. Only God can help your marriage. Only God can help your life. Now thank God for the church is involved in that, but I'll tell you what, how many times have we seen you can go to a good Bible-believing church and put your family in a good Bible-believing church? It is not the church that's going to produce and build a godly home. Did I just shock you? God has to do that in your home. It's not reading all the books and doing all the right things. On, you know, I got all the books on the best parenting and how to, it's not that. You have got to have God to build your house. Now, here's the truth. Here's the truth. Now, listen. The Bible says in the book of Jude, verse 20, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith. Here's the truth. Are you ready for a truth? You can't build anything if you're not built up yourself. Jude 20, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith. If we as God's people, if you as a mother, don't, if you don't build your Christian life, you can't build in your children. You've got to build something in you to build something in them. Does that make sense? In other words, guys, look, we got lots of people that want to help everybody else in the world, but they can't help their own self. You can't help anybody if you can't help your own self. So you know what God wants to do? God wants to build you up upon your most holy faith. He wants to become more and more to you in your heart. He wants you to think more and more like him as a mother or as a father or as a young person. He wants to build something in you, and then you will be able to help someone else. Because except the Lord build a house, we labor in vain. I'm in Proverbs again. Would you go to Proverbs chapter 31. I'll give you another household here. Get Proverbs 31, and I've only got a couple more points here, and get Acts 16 with your other hand, and we'll get these two real quick. You say, preacher, I want to be a godly mother. I want to build my house. Well, you're going to have to get wisdom, number one. Number two, you're going to have to center your life in God. He has to do it. But number three, look at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, you know the text. We'll get into when we get there. In Proverbs 31, verse 10, he says, who can find a virtuous woman? You know the heart of it. You know the heart of the text and the heart of this woman. But I want you to look there at verse 15. She riseth also what is yet night and giveth meat to what? That's the same little phrase there. Her household. You see that? God is giving credit to this woman for building in her own house. It talks about her strength. It talks about her merchandise. It talks about her activity. She's not a lazy woman. Look at verse 21, Proverbs 31, 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. You see it again? Her household. For all her household, you see it again? Her clothed with scarlet. She takes the responsibility to do what's needed to be done for her household. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways, there it is again, of her household, and eateth not the bread of idols. Third ingredient, ladies. To be a godly mother that builds up your house, you're going to have to be a wise woman, you're going to have to be a God-centered woman, and you're going to have to be a virtuous woman. What is virtue? Virtue, I think, has two aspects. It has an aspect of morality to it. Dirty women don't build their houses. Women that don't have clean consciences don't build their houses. Virtuous women look well to the ways of their household. What else does virtue mean? Virtue means strength. Now, we know that the Bible says that the wife, the woman, is the weaker vessel, but she can be strong. in the Lord and in the power of His might. You read this stuff in Proverbs 31 about this woman. She is strong, brother. She's a hard worker. She's getting things done. She's making money. She's putting some effort, not into herself, but into her household, because she's virtuous. I'll give you a fourth ingredient, ladies. Would you go to Acts chapter 16? Acts chapter 16, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. That's a woman I even named my youngest daughter after. Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, in verse 14, Acts 16, 14, watch this. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and watch it, and her household, there it is again. God's, and I really think this woman's a single mother. But this woman has charge over her household, and God's going to bless her household because of her. Look at it. Her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. The first convert in Europe was this lady by the name of Lydia. And she built her house, not by her business. She sold purple. She made money. But she built her house by one thing. She had an open heart to God. Her heart was open. Listen. Her heart was open to God. And her, you know what it made her do? She opened her house to the missionaries. She opened her life to the service of God. Her heart was open to God. If you want to build your house and have the blessing of God on your house, you have to keep an open heart to God. You say, preacher, that sounds simple. So many people's hearts are closed. So many people, they can hear a million sermons, but they have already shut the door. So many people can have every event in their life, but they still don't get it. And they still don't open their heart to God. What is opening your heart mean? It just says, God, whatever you want, you can have. God, whatever I have in my life, it's yours. I open my heart to you. I'm putting no prerequisites on you. I'm putting no restrictions on you. I'm just open to whatever you want, Lord. And I'm going to tell you that is such an ingredient to building your house. I'll finish with this one. 1 Samuel chapter 1. The epitome of the wise mother, the wise woman who built her house is 1 Samuel chapter 1. Her name's Hannah. What I'm saying to you, if you're going to be that woman that builds her house instead of destroys it, you have to have wisdom. You have to be God-centered. You have to have virtue. You have to have an open heart to God. And lastly, you're not only going to have prayer, but you're going to have a commitment. We read this story of Hannah, and usually just her prayer is emphasized. But I want you to look at this prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says this about Hannah. 1 Samuel 1:10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. We look at that, oh, what a prayer life. This was a praying woman. Amen. That's a good ingredient. But watch what kind of prayer she's making. She's not just praying. Look at the next verse. And she, what does that say? Vowed a vow. You know what a vow is? It is a commitment. It's a promise to God. You know, when husbands and when the two get married, they're up on the platform there and they're saying their vows to each other. They make a commitment. It's a commitment. You know, forsaking all others and keep myself only for, that's a commitment. It's a vow, right? It's a promise. What I'm saying, this was not just a praying woman. This was a woman that's making commitments to God.
She vowed a vow, look at it, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and do not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She commits him to God's service, verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about that, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And the Bible says she did just that. She gave this child to God forever. And the Bible says in chapter 2, two more verses, chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, verse 19, Moreover, his mother, that's Hannah, made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, you guys know that child grows, right? Especially sometimes those boys, man. I mean, I think Simon's still growing. I don't know what his problem is. He doesn't know adulthood. It stopped somewhere. Just keeps growing. Those boys have, I mean, they just keep growing. Their feet grow. Everything about them just grows. Now listen, you know what this woman did? Hannah made a commitment to God. She says, I'm going to give this child to you forever. You think that, you don't you think that was a hard commitment to make? She wanted more than anything a child. She had no promise that she would ever get another one. I mean, when it's that hard to get the first one, right? And the one child, it almost reminds you of God, doesn't it? That God gave his only son. And Hannah says, I'm going to give, God, I'm going to make a commitment and I'm going to give this child to you forever. I'm never going to take him back. But I tell you what I'm going to do, God. Every year that he grows, I'm going to bring him another coat that I made. You know, she made a yearly commitment. And every year she's making those clothes for her son. And every year he gets another size. She travels that distance to Jerusalem and she that distance to Eli. And she brings that child every year, a commitment every year, every year, every year. You know what God did for her? God just loaded her up with kids after that. I bet she was the happiest woman in the world. Listen. It came with commitment. You know what she did? She built one of the greatest prophets that Israel ever saw. She built her own household by her own commitment. Israel would never have had a Samuel if it hadn't been for Hannah's commitment and prayer to God. Let me ask you, ladies, how committed are you to God? You want to build your house? You'll probably build it about as high as your commitment to God is deep. And that doesn't just go to the ladies. Oh, that all of us would take our commitment deeper so the things of our lives will be built higher.